Everyone, if we could just stand up and just say high five as Pastor Richard is coming up. If we could just please stand up, high five someone next to you, and then put our hands together for Pastor Richard.
Hey, 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 hey. Boom. Good morning. How are you all doing? Kia ora whānau. My name is Richard, not Richard. Richard, and I'm a dad. Oh, come on, guys. I'm a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only that, I'm a granddad, too. Isn't that good? Yeah, Papa. Fantastic. Happy Father's Day to all the men, all the dads. Foster dad, step dad. No, it's not working. We're going to switch it over. Okay, can you hold that, brother? It sounds perfect up here. 1, 2. Is that better? Really? It sounded really good up here. We'll try that again. Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Fantastic. How many guys got breakfast in bed this morning? Okay. Now, before we get into the sermon, we get into anything else, men, fathers, from me to you, as the father of the church, I'm going to just pull the executive hat out and tell you that fathers are first to the table at lunchtime, all right? Men first, right? We do ladies first all year long. Today, it's Dad's Day. Go and fill your boots, all right? And ladies, I want you to hold back. And you dudes, you can go to the very, very back of the line. It's only the dads that go up front, all right? Praise God. Everyone doing good? Touch your neighbor on the side. Say, hey, are you awake? You're paying attention? Is everybody warm?
Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me? Okay, I'll hand it over to you, Pastor. Sorry, my man.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Is that better? Does that sound less echoey? Is everybody warm? It's the first day of spring, but also we've got the two heaters. Would you mind if we turn the heaters off? Would that be all right, just so we can connect more? Okay, if we can turn it off, guys, we'll see how that rolls, just to cut back some of the background noise. Or is the noise coming from these? I'm not sure. I'll leave it to Pastor Alfred and team. Wonderful, fantastic. Okay. Before we get into this, I want to do something very, very important. If you were here last week, you'll know. If you've been watching the TV, you ought to know as well that there's a very, very important thing happening in our land. It's the abortion legislation bill 2019, and we taught about it last week. We preached about it from a biblical perspective. And we as a church, the teaching of the scriptures is absolutely clear that abortion is wrong. You can't have abortions in this land, but this bill is wanting to liberalize it so girls even up to 20 weeks pregnant can have an abortion without even telling their parents. It's crazy. They have to get a note from their parents to go to play netball or go for a school trip to the zoo, but then go down the road and get an abortion. It's just wrong on behalf of the woman and the babies. The health, mental health, emotional health, physical health. It's scary. I watched some more videos this week on what they actually do, and it's just plain shocking. And so we are having prayer meetings in our church this morning. We had our first one next week, next Sunday, 9:30, and the one after upstairs, we're praying. But I want us to pray, because I know most of us can't make it to the prayer meeting. We're going to take a few minutes this morning to pray for our government. We're going to pray for the mothers and the babies, and we want to pray for the church to rise up. The absence of voice from the Christian church, and on this issue we stand with Muslims, we stand with atheists, we stand with nominal Christians, we stand with so many other faiths, because many people across our nation believe this is wrong, but obviously, or many people don't know the political process, they don't know how to make their voice count, and so we are at least going to do what we can do. So when I get to heaven and I look at the hundreds of thousands of babies, I can look at them and say I did everything I possibly could, including interrupting a Sunday morning service so we can pray. And so we may take a few minutes longer today. We plan to finish by midday, but it might go on a little bit longer today for this reason. And so can we put the slides up, guys? The slide, sorry. Okay, this is what we're going to pray. Now, if you're here today, and we've got lots of visitors, so if you're not, you don't believe this, you think abortion's fine to go through, thank you, we respect your opinion, and if you don't want to pray, or maybe you don't know God, or you're uncomfortable with the whole thing, that's cool. If you would mind just being silent for us, maybe just a moment of silence to allow those that want to pray. And I want to encourage couples, families, or just the people, your friends that you're with, to pray. We're going to pray for the government. We're going to pray for mothers and babies. And I'm going to invite our children and youth director, Mike Erazzo, to come up and pray on our behalf for the Church of New Zealand in particular. Amen? Is everyone cool with that? I've lost my keyboardist here. Maybe Harold, you can jump on there and just make me sound a whole lot better, please, if you would. So we're going to pray for the government. We're going to declare blessing over the government, over our Prime Minister. I find it crazy, incredible that 120 people, can you imagine this half of the congregation saying to you, this half of the congregation, you're responsible to make a decision for the entire nation. What responsibility? And about a third of them weren't even voted. List MPs weren't even voted. And can I just point this fact out? That MPs might serve for a term, 3 years, maybe 6 years or a bit longer. They're a temporary organization with a very serious responsibility, but they're going to make a decision that's going to go on for generations. To give that responsibility to 120 people who are there for a few years, a temporary office of service ought to be honored, but it should have absolute reverence for the principles of life and for life itself. And so we're going to pray for our government. We're going to ask wisdom. We're going to pray that they would have soft consciences. But not just be given to popular opinion. I had an MP write me this week to tell me, nearly 100 MPs said it was good, so it must be good. Wow. You mean to say 100 majority MPs say rape is good, that must be good? Do you mean to say 100 people jump off the bridge? I should jump off the bridge? Of course not. That's ridiculous thinking. And so we need people to stand in prayer or sit in prayer, lie in prayer, do whatever you got to do in prayer, but pray for their consciences to be softened. Pray for popular opinion not to rule the roost. The liberal agenda ought to be squashed. They need to be men and women of conviction. And as I quoted last week, it's amazing how people who want the abortion law to be liberalized themselves are living today. Just lucky they weren't an inconvenience to their parents' life. We need to pray for divine intervention, for God to bring dreams, raise up Josephs, to raise up Daniels, to raise up Esthers, and speak to our government. Then we're going to pray for mothers and babies, protection over their lives. Protect them. I look forward to ongoing discussion about how we in the Church of New Zealand can serve expectant mothers. Not just say what's wrong, but be a part of the solution of adoption. Helping families stay together and pray for a change of heart amongst the mums. We pray that they would be fully informed, not just take a pill and go, but they would see what it does, that they themselves would not. I had a conversation with somebody in our church today or last week about a woman who every night could hear her baby crying. She only fessed up later in her life, in her elderly years, every night. And her mind can hear her own baby crying that she aborted. Such tragedy, such torment. So I speak with compassion for mothers who are put in the very difficult situations. So can we begin to pray? Just grab the hand of someone beside you. If you're two or three young people, if you feel awkward and uncomfortable, just let it go by. Just be silent. But I just want us to fill this room with prayer. Intercession for our government. Intercession for mothers and babies. Let's just begin to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We lift it up before you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. ask blessing, Lord, over our government, over our Prime Minister. Bless them with godly wisdom. I pray that she would have a deep conviction. The select committee that's about to meet, that you individually would meet with them. That you would intervene in the situation, Father, that you would help them not to think the popular thing, but think the right thing. Help the revelation of life, the beauty, the wonder, the sanctity of life in the womb would visit them, Lord. This awareness, this revelation, this understanding would, Lord, come to them, bypass their humanistic thinking and bypass their secular thinking. We lift them up before you, Father. Would you come into this great nation? God, defend New Zealand. We lift up the mothers and babies. We pray protection over them. I pray that the mothers would have a change of heart, that there would not be undue pressure from the father or parents or culture, but Lord, they'd preserve life. And if necessary, adopt the child out, but give the child a chance. We pray today on behalf of the defenseless, the voiceless. They did not ask to be born. They did not ask to be conceived. That which was begun, I pray that it would be birthed. The child, the destiny, Lord, in their hearts, the call upon their lives would be birthed. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. We ask that you would take the situation, that you'd rescue the little ones, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Of this great nation, Lord God, that is up and down this nation. And the Lord would say to you, my people, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so, Father God, Lord, we pray that you would move by your Spirit so powerfully, Lord God, in this nation, in your churches. Lord God, that you would cause your church to rise up in these times of darkness, Lord God, to be the voice of righteousness, to be a voice of life, Lord God. Lord Jesus, that you would empower us. Heaven, Father, that we would be the church, your church, Lord God, that you would be so proud of, a church that is your hands and feet and the voice, Lord God, for these unborn children, Lord God. Lord, that your church will be a place of safety, a place of grace for these expectant mothers, Lord God, that we would really open up our hearts, Lord God, to walk the walk, to talk the talk of what your church is, Lord God. Lord, that we would really stand up for what is right. Fight for people that are helpless, especially the unborn children. Lord, Father, I pray, and we pray collectively, Lord, that you would shake each and every church, Lord God, calls upon your name. Convict us, Lord God, that we'd have such powerful convictions in our heart, Lord God, to voice out your voice in these times, Lord God. That we would have unwavering conviction, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move each and every single people in this land your church. Father, we pray that. We ask of it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Mikey. Praise God. It seems like such a suitable day to pray for the unborn. Father's Day. They don't even get a chance to see their daddy. Well, you may not remember anything else about today, but I want you to remember that. Praise God. Well, I've been a father for 30 years. Bang on 30 years, I know. And that's just my own family. There are spiritual sons and daughters, both here and elsewhere in the nation. Here's some pictures up here. I'm the proud father of four sons and one grandson. There they are, from a young age all the way through different ages and stages. I've been through all of it, thick and thin. We've been through the sleepless night phase or stage. We've been through the toddler stage, the two-year-old stage, the will-developing stage. We've been through the difficult stage, the teenage stage, the rebellious stage, the driving stage, the adult stage, and now the papa stage, which is different again. Now my son is a father. What a crazy thought. And just learning how to be a papa. It's just great. So I love being a dad. I want you to know that. I've really enjoyed being a father. Praise God, I've really enjoyed it. They're all super different. I cannot understand it. We have the same mother, the same father, the same dining table, the same food, the same water, the same house, but they all come out different. We've got one that likes to talk and process everything external. We've got one that internalizes it. We've got one that's more serious. We've got one that doesn't know how to be serious. And that's just my wife. No, I mean my kids. Oh, we've got one that's more Chrissy, one that's maybe more me. And so here's what we're going to do today. Dad, you'd be real good or glad about this. We're going to keep it simple. Anyone like simple? I'm going to talk about one verse. I'm going to pick out three words. And then we're going to have three sons come up and join me. And then we're going to have one point. One verse, three words, three sons, one big point that I want you to remember today. Sound good? All right, so our verse is in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs are a short, sharp, saturated insight. They're like a nugget of wisdom. Sound good? And so I can think of a contemporary nugget might be actions are bigger than words. Or what about this one? The grass is always greener on the other side. It's short. It's maybe one or two statements. It's sharp and it's packed in. The grass is always greener on the other side. What does that mean? It means that we want something that we don't have. We think something over there is more important, or we think it's more attractive to us, right? Okay, so in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 20, every one of these verses is like a nugget of wisdom. The first verse says, hey, if you're going to drink wine, be very careful, because it can lead to trouble. You can have too much wine. Verse 4 talks about work ethic. It says, don't be lazy. Verse 6 says, good men are faithful men. And all the woman said? Amen. Girls, if you're unmarried looking for a good man, this is what you look for in a man. Is he faithful? Is his word faithful? Is he faithful to honor God? Is he faithful to walk with God? We could talk for 30 minutes about what to look in men for a husband. But I want to tell you something. Right there at the top of the list is a faithful man. That's just for free, girls. This is Father's Day, but I'm just giving you a little bit of advice. Okay, but on our verse 7 is our verse today. That's what we're going to camp on. And it tells us about a good, godly Christian dad. What a good, godly Christian dad does. How about that? Now listen to me now. All you non-dads, don't check out. Chicks, stay with me. In fact, I want to say this, no matter who you are, your father has profoundly impacted you and me, both positively and negatively. In some cases, in many cases, I would say almost more than the mum. It just seems in counseling and discipleship, the daddy thing comes up so frequently. The impact of a father is just huge, and this also lends to the current topic in the media. The absence of men in the lives of children, much less good men. But here we go, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, it tells us, it says this, the righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. The righteous man walks. What does that mean? The righteous, the man who is right with God. The godly man walks. Now this walks word, it's a metaphor, it's a biblical idea that just talking about lifestyle, doing life. I walk through life. We are daily living. A righteous or a man who's right with God walks, he does life in his what? Integrity. His children are blessed. Why? Because they follow after him. He's a man who's right with God, who walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Okay, we're going to pick out three simple words. The first one is integrity. Everybody say integrity. This is to do with your character. It comes from a Latin word. The root word is integra. Not the Honda vehicle I can see sometimes, but Integra. Maybe they had that in their mind when they named it. You know, who names cars like me? Cube. Anyway, I won't go down car names, but someone needs to do a Google before they do these things. The root word is Integra. It means whole, complete, no double side, consistent in character. What does that mean? That means there's only one you. Yeah, I know there's like the church you, you come here, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and then there's a work you, and you get there and you do your thing, and then you got the neighbors you, and you got the online you. It's like all these different versions of you, and they don't kind of overlap very much. And what integrity says is there's only one you. What integrity says is what you see is what you get, wherever and whenever. The one person, the thing that ties us all together is a word called integrity. Say it again, integrity. It's the same you who walks into church. It's the same you who surfs the internet. It's the same you when you manage your money. It's the same you when you talk to your neighbor. There's no separation. Some of us here live separated lives. We raise our hands at church and then we're having dirty jokes with our mates. We come to church and we don't look at girls here like we do out there, but we still do. Our mouth is different out there than it is in here. Integrity says we're the same person wherever we go. A righteous man walks in his, say it again. A righteous man walks in his, let's change righteous man to righteous dad because it's talking about a dude with kids. A righteous dad walks in his integrity. Fathers, I think that one of the greatest things we can have and possess as fathers and husbands is to be a man of, we may not be that smart, we may not be that rich, and sure, man, we all make mistakes from time to time. But integrity is not built over one decision, it's over a lifetime of growing in our integrity. Our word is our bond. Our kids and our wives see the same us each time. Now you missed a good moment to say amen. Integrity. God puts a huge premium on integrity. It's an umbrella word. It's one of these words that encapsulates all these wonderful attributes that we love to learn about and aspire to be like. We watch movies about men and women who do this. The root word is an umbrella word, and it covers words like it's the word that we get these words from: pure heart, righteous, undefiled, whole, as I mentioned earlier. Honesty, blameless, truthful, perfect, wow, trusted, upright. All those words come from the one word, integra. The Bible tells us that integrity will guide you, it will protect you, it will guard you, it will secure you, and it will provide for you. God puts a premium. That means he highly values integrity. When he looked for the next king, he looked for David. Man would look at the outside, but God looks at the... Some of you aspire to be leaders and grow and your leadership. I want to tell you something. The thing that we look for, first of all, is a man of faithfulness in this church who's regular, consistent with serving in the house, who's got a good... One of the qualifications for leadership in the church is to have a family that's in order. It's not be perfect, but to have order, to have integrity in the home. It actually says you've got to be above reproach in the workplace if you want to be a leader in the church. In other words, we go and do interviews with workmates. Okay, what's Richard like at lunchtime? Is he looking at the magazines under the table? How people see us, the other you, needs to match the you inside church. And when that comes together, those are the kinds of people we want to become leaders in our church. That's the word integrity. Let's move on to the second word. Are you ready for the second word? The second word is walks. Walks, I mentioned it before, about daily living. You see, integrity is not just thoughts and words. Integrity is visible. Integrity can be seen in a life. I would argue it should be seen before it's spoken about. We should just know. You just get that feeling sometimes, man, this person is solid. They've got integrity. Brothers, fathers, men, the way you and I live our lives reveals the kind of men that we are. I may not be the greatest preacher. I know that. In fact, I'll rephrase that. I know I'm not the greatest preacher nor the greatest pastor. I know I have got a lot of skills I need to grow in and character that needs to be formed. But I hope when I pass on that my children and my children's children will know that Dad, or well, they will think that Dad is a man of integrity, authentic, real. He wasn't a different person at home than church, or you know, when he's on his own in the airport, or when he can jump on the phone and no one else knows what he's searching. I hope they know that they get the one me. Fathers, our children are watching. They might be listening to our words, but they're watching us even more. I love the story of Andy Roddick. Andy Roddick is a professional tennis player. He's American. I personally love to watch tennis. One of my bucket lists is to go to a Grand Slam. I was trying to get over to Melbourne next January through Air Points, but then I discovered I only had enough Air Points to go one way, so we'll have a look at that. But Andy Roddick's an American, a wicked serve. He's a big serving guy. But he was playing in the 2005 Italia Masters. Anybody here from Italy? No? Anybody want to be from Italy? I thought we had a guy, one of our worship guys, one of our singers was looked like he was Italian. Oh, no, Samoan, that's right. You look pretty cool, man. They're playing this game in the Masters, the final game. Andy is right up. He's seated number one. He's got the first set. And if you know the Masters, if you know tennis, you've got sets, and you've got to get the majority of the sets. He gets the first set, second set. We're now on the third set. It's match point. He's 40-0, okay? And he's playing a guy called Fernando Verdasco. Fernando de Nodasco. You can try and say that backwards after lunch. Okay, do a tongue twister. Fernando's serving. He throws the ball. The crowd goes hush. He throws the ball in the air. He serves the ball over the net. It goes and down it goes. Everybody, Fernasco, the linesman, the umpire, all believe the ball went out and the game was Andy's. But Andy was closest, and Andy saw exactly where it landed, and he knew that it was in. Everybody believed it was out. He won the match, thousands of dollars, increased ranking. No one else knew, but only he knew that actually, in fact, the ball was out. Fernando walked to the net, rather disappointed. He walked to the net thinking the game was over, and Andy walked to the net and said, no, let's talk to the umpire. Went to the umpire, said, sir, the ball was in, it was an ace, it's his point. They replayed the video, and as sure as Andy said, the ball was in, it just touched the line. A line ball in tennis is in. The match resumed. The match finished, and Andy lost the match. An incredible comeback. You see, that day, Andy lost his ranking. He lost thousands and thousands of dollars. But I want to tell you something. He won integrity because he knew that a false victory was no victory at all. Michelangelo drew this beautiful picture on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. My wife and I were there just a few months ago. Incredible, there at the Vatican. And there's Michelangelo. He spent hours and days and months on his back painting this incredible piece of art. And he was there, and the reason he was there for so long was the painting, the fine lines, the detail that went into it. And his friend said to him, because it's very, very high, the ceiling's very high from the ground, friend says, Michelangelo, what are you doing? I mean, this is taking forever. You're wasting time on such intimate detail. No one can see it. Michelangelo turned to him and said, ah, but I can see it and God can see it. Integrity is just like that. While others can't see it, you still do the right thing. The third word I want to talk about is after. As dads walk in his integrity, who follows after him? His children. By way of a show of hands, I want you to be very honest this morning. I want to ask you this question. Who here has had their father profoundly impact them negatively or positively? Hand in the air. Who here has been profoundly impacted by their father negatively or positively? Okay, fantastic, wonderful. Not as many hands went up as I thought there would, and maybe you didn't understand the question. But I have found, as I mentioned earlier, there's something. It's like a child is like wet concrete. And when the dad, the involvement of the father or the absence of the father seems to have such a deep in our soul impact and our identity, is incredible. And as the impression goes into that concrete as a wet child and our identity is fragile and beginning to be formed, it's like as a concrete cures and sets, the role of the father and the interaction with that wet concrete seems to have a lifetime of impact. It's an amazing thing. I remember, before I invite my boys to come up, we love camping up at Kaiwi Lakes. Anybody else like Kaiwi Lakes? Yeah, you can thank me, man. I introduced you to the church. That's great, man. Kaiwi Lakes, I mean, mate, it's just heaven on earth. It's beautiful. And we went for a family walk. So if you know where Pine Beach is, you've got this big camping ground, about 400 people capacity, and behind is like a cliff. You kind of walk up the steep thing, and you get up there, and there's long grass and bushes, and you've got a beautiful, beautiful view and a beautiful scenery. And we got up there, and the grass was tall, taller than our youngest, who's now taller than all of us, I think. And so what happened? Good old dad, eh? That's what dads do. Dad let out. And I was walking through that grass to create a track. And I discovered something. They all followed in my track. You see, as a man walks in his integrity, he carves out a path for a child. Now, they may choose to ignore it. They may choose to rebel against it. But a righteous man who walks in his integrity will carve out a track. So it's so much easier in life. So much easier if they would follow a righteous man, not an abusive man, not an absent, a righteous man of God who walks in his integrity, walks and he creates a path for his children to follow. And here's my simple thought. My walk, their ways. My walk, their ways. We're going to have a bit of fun right now with my sons, and I want to welcome them all up to the stage. I want to invite Carl Urban. Come on, Carl, and Sammy, and Isaac. Let's give them a hand. Come on. All right. This is going to be fun. fun, but it's also, we're going to have a little bit of a candid conversation. It's good to go to church and get things real, right? And so this is unrehearsed. Come on in, guys. Okay, I am absolutely the teaser. I think, am I supposed to sit here, Pastor Alfred? Hey, over there, buddy. Come on. This is just like the lounge at home. Okay, every dad's got to have his chair, right? When he's in the room, that is. Now, just joking. So we're going to sit down here. All right, g'day, guys. Good to see you. So here's what we're going to do. Anybody nervous? Here's what we want to do. We want to have an open conversation. And this is a living illustration of my walk, their ways. Now, let's get something really clear. I am not a perfect father. I don't think there is one in the room. They are not perfect sons. I don't think there's one in the room, and we're not a perfect family. And so, just so you know, I've given them two questions to draw out the good. Well, I hope there's a bit of good in there. But also the areas that I'm weak. Areas that maybe I could have done a better job if I had my time again. And I think every dad here would say that, right? If we did our time again, we would do some things different. But there's some things we would not change. And so we want to have a little candid conversation. We're going to be quite careful with this. But guys, I invite you to share your heart. But first of all, let's just quickly go around so we kind of do a test on the mic and you get used to your own voice. We'll start, we'll go from this way, Isaac, and then we'll go up the ladder, we'll down and then up. And we've got four sons, one still in Christchurch. We couldn't get him here and fly him in for the special occasion, but maybe age and what you're doing, like work or study, what's your deal?
Oh yeah, so my name's Isaac and my age is 21. I'm just technical support for Slingshot New Zealand, so just started off there at the moment. Yeah. Next.
Check. Oh. I'm Sam, I'm 19. I'm at Equippers Bible College, full-time, and also working part-time at Pack and Save. So yeah, that's me.
I'm Carl, I just turned 30. I've been telling everybody. Just recently finished my university studies. I'm currently on the lookout for a job as a teacher. And I do work at a supermarket too as well, so keeps me afloat. Yeah.
Good work, guys. Fantastic. So we've got number one, three, and four. So number two is in Christchurch, for those that don't know us. Okay, so here's the two questions. Actually, I asked them two things, but for time's sake, we'll go with one. What is one thing that you would emulate me? In other words, when you're a father, what's one thing that you would want to do, you would want to continue? And then the second question is the opposite, right? What is one thing you would not want to emulate? This is where we get nice and open, and I'm totally cool with it. Okay? So I know, it's going to be fun, man. And so everyone's listening now, guys. Can you hear that? Can you feel that? Just a few minutes ago, I was like, when's he going to finish? We want to get the food going here. Now it's, no, keep talking. So what's one thing you would want to emulate and copy and continue? One thing you would not want to emulate and copy and continue? So why don't we start off with the youngest and we'll go up the ladder. All right, so what should we do? We'll do it in that order, shall we? Both questions? Yeah, go for it. Or maybe we'll do round one. What would you like to emulate? And then we'll go around and we'll humble everybody and bring it down.
On Monday nights, we usually have family dinner. So I'll probably emulate whatever that word is. Yeah, that. And copy that. Because it's good to catch up with your kids and your wife through the week instead of just being like a flat where everyone comes and goes. I had two, but that, because it's pretty short. The other one was probably like asking how asking how my kids feel as well. Like when I come home from work, even if he's watching the rugby or something, he'll still ask, how am I? You know, if I come home, like, how am I? And I can express my anger or my happiness. I don't know. But yeah. Yeah.
Good job, Sammy.
He's right. Yeah.
Are you going to share that gum around? We can all have a piece? What's going on? All right, Zach, come on, buddy.
Okay. Mine is pretty similar. The involvement in child's life is so important, like Dad expressed, and the fact that he makes time for us to come together on a Monday night is really important. And I value that, and I'd like to emulate that in my kids' lives as well, because it's so easy to get distracted with our own personal walk and, you know, our own paths that we don't cross paths very much. And, you know, we're all working and studying and whatnot. So yeah, I would definitely emulate the involvement in my children's lives and the caring, you know, about issues that go on that are taboo to Christian faith. And so, yeah.
Good, Zach.
Right, as for me, there's quite a few things about Dad that I like to emulate. I think I regard him as an excellent father, as fathers go. I've told him so. If I had to pick one thing, I would say I would like to emulate his remarkable work ethic. He's a very dedicated, hard-working man, and that's, you know, people respect you when you're known to be hard-working. You never slack off, you're always committed, you show up on time, you do what you're supposed to do, you don't shy away from your work, you don't shirk your duties, you do what you're supposed to do, and that's something that I really respect and admire about Dad, and I'm building on that myself. That's the thing I want to emulate.
Wow, thank you. I'm feeling real good right now. Can we just say a prayer and go and eat now? Latte, you know, be good. Do we have to go there? No, I'm joking. I absolutely want them to talk it through. So shall we, we'll go back to the same cycle, eh? So what's one thing, or maybe two things, if it's short, that you would not want to emulate? Sammy?
Well, alphabetically, or probably the first one is probably I probably teach my kids more about cars. Eh? Like he taught us a bit of woodwork and all that, but maybe because I just love cars. But I would also want. Okay, this is the thing. When I have a daughter, and when I have a daughter in Jesus' name, but when she has a boyfriend, I want her to teach him about cars.
Bruh.
So, yeah. Look, more like, and it's crucial as well if your car breaks down, you know, health and safety risk, kind of. But the other part, which I definitely won't do, is probably telling people off in public, eh? Okay, I'll tell you a story, right?
Amen, so, amen.
We were at an All Blacks game. Oh, he's getting red.
The Bible.
We're at an All Blacks game. They're versing South Africa. And we're having a good time. You know, All Blacks is doing their thing. And there was a guy behind us. He was a bit intoxicated, but he was behind us, and he just kept talking there, and he kept saying, like, talking rubbish about the All Blacks. And knowing Dad, yeah, I could tell, you always can tell, well, being his sons, you can always tell when he's annoyed. And he can't stop moving, and his leg starts moving. He looks around, and I knew something was going to happen. So I put my arm around him, and I was like, Dad, it's okay. Like, I knew he was going to burst, And then the guy came out again. He was like, "Oh, come on, do better." And then he turned around. He's like, "Oi, quiet!" And like, you said something. I don't remember. I think it was like, "Shut up" or something like that. But
You said something.
No.
I'm just going to expose him. I'm just going to expose him right now. And he says something like that, like I'll cut it out or something like that. I put my arm around Dad, and he did it again. The guy did it again. And I really remember this. You can pretend that you don't remember. It's all right, but I do. And he, Dad, I could tell he was going to get up, and he went like this. He's about to get up, and I grabbed his legs. I was like, it's all right, Dad. It's all right, Dad. And I would not do that if I was with my daughter or son. Maybe if, you know, they were threatening my family or something, but not because of a game. Like I'm trying to have a nice father and son bonding here. So, yeah, those are my two.
Wow, there we go. I just.
Come on! Woo!
Do it again.
In my defense.
Yeah, okay, Isaac, you want to share yours?
It's Isaac's turn.
Yes, it is. Yeah, he stole mine, but it was in other settings.
Shit.
Countless softball games.
Amen.
No, but I admire that. And, you know, flip the other side of the coin. You know, he stands up for what's right, and I really appreciate that. You know, some people don't have the, you know, to stand up and say what's right and what should be said. But yeah, same kind of thing at softball games. There'll be a parent shouting his head off, and Dad will turn around and be like, "Do you mind?" Yeah, probably just another one would be just patience. Sometimes Dad can get a bit impatient. Hey, he said be real, so, you know. But yeah, sometimes patience can be pushed, and we can kind of sense it in the room when things aren't getting done straight away sometimes. And I mean, that's like all of us, but that's just another thing, you know. You know, I'm not trying to expose them too much, but.
Hey, if you want to go there, man, you go there. Hey,
so, when the TV's on. Yeah, this was last night too. And I said, this is what I mean. it's yeah. So the TV's on, and well, we'll take last night as an example. We're trying to arrange movie tickets to go see this movie today, and I'm booking the tickets, and I'm like, oh, you know, does anyone want any food? And you know, Dad flicks on the YouTube video, and I was like, does anyone want any food? I'm about to book it now, and then Dad like mutes it straight away. You gonna say something? Or like, can you say it now? Like, he doesn't like the interruption between family, you know, talking and a video. So that kind of gets on me, because then I'm like, yeah, I want to speak. You know, this is like technology, and so yeah. I think it's just the patience can be worked on, tweaked a bit, you know. But the good outbalances the bad, so that's the point. Yeah.
Good on you, son.
Carl.
It's pretty similar to what my brothers have said.
Share it.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, maybe a little more patience. I think patience is the word there. And it's not a huge thing. I kind of struggle to find things that I really don't want to emulate. I mean, he and I don't have the same interests. I'm not as into sports as he is, or anything like that. So I'm very different in what I like to do. So there's that. There's the patience. Maybe I'll dial it down a bit on the cheekiness as well. Behave myself a little bit more. I'm a very well-behaved person anyway, so that's all sort of. So that's it. There's not much for me in that.
Good, okay. I came through that pretty good, didn't I? I'll pay you guys later on. No, just teasing. That's true, I can be impatient. And yes, when I'm watching something in the lounge, why do people decide to have a conversation beside me?
It doesn't matter.
When we've got a whole house, we have a quarter acre. Right. But there you go. I'm learning. So please pray for me as I more of the fruit of the Spirit comes out.
Extend your hands.
Extend your hands.
What's that, guys? You got to pray for me there, Lord.
Private altar call.
Fantastic. Well, you can stay here if you want, guys, or you can hang out and just you enjoying it up here. You want to stay here? Okay, yeah. Just chill out.
Sun's
that's good.
Right.
What one thing that I have tried to do all of our 30 years now is to have open conversation. I think it's critical communication, even when it's ugly, even when someone's doing crazy stuff that's way out of bounds. But to always maintain, and I remember, you know, a couple of moments particularly where I remember the Lord just saying, just even though, because I'm, as you can probably tell, even from the pulpit, when I know something's wrong, I'll say something, and not always with wisdom and the timing. And remember the Lord just saying, Richard, just keep it just quiet, but keep listening, keep them talking, don't keep correcting. And so the Lord's continue to do that. So just in terms of communication, dads, I want to encourage you to keep evaluating your relationship with your children. With your cap today, I gave you an envelope. Inside of this envelope are seven questions. I want you to get time with your son or daughter to stimulate more conversation, to ask them and to really evaluate your relationship with them. Chrissy and I were chatting about this. Maybe under four, it might be difficult. You may need to save it till after then, but definitely teenage years and young kids. This is a gift from me to you. Seven simple questions to really have an honest conversation. Do your kids feel like they can come and talk to you without getting a telling off, or they can open up to you? And so I really want to encourage that. Please take that. And if you're not yet, haven't yet had your child born or whatever, need to wait for a few years, do that. Just tuck it aside. But this is from me to you, just a little gift to help conversation and your relationship with your kids. Sound good? Let's try and wrap this thing up. Time has gone. It's 12:15. Fathers, that was just a living illustration of my walk, their ways. And I've had an influence, both good, I hope more good than bad. There's some things I won't continue. And I hope there's a lot more that will be continued. And I think, too, as you grow older, you begin to realize actually what you actually enjoyed as a youngster. As you get older and become a parent yourself. So my walk, how I walk, dads, how you walk is very, very important. But here's a simple question I want to ask you, every dad. Are you ready, guys? How is your walk? How's your walk with God? I'm not asking how much money you've got, how hard you work. I'm asking, how's your walk with God? You can't expect your kids to know God, love God, serve God, unless you are. They will follow what you do, not so much what you say, I've discovered. Don't be so busy that you can't build a meaningful relationship with your kids, but I want to suggest to you, don't be so busy you can't have a living, vibrant relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. He will help you be a good father, as He has helped me. And He'll also forgive us when we do mistakes and make mistakes. And I still make mistakes. Just last night I made a mistake. Okay? So dads, please take that to heart. All the men say after me, my walk, their ways. It's profound. The stories, the proverb is leading to that one point. My walk, their ways. Can we just close our eyes? Maybe Harold, you could join us up here, please. Thank you, Lord. I want to tell you, men, that you can be a man of integrity.
For many, many years, I was a different person in church. There was a Richard Church, or there was a Church Richard, and there was a Work Richard. You know, I've battled with integrity for years. In my early years of adulthood, even I think in my early years of ministry, I've battled with integrity, being the same person all the time. I know what it's like to try and keep my church world one thing, but when I'm at work, it's a whole different story, and try to keep them apart. One of the areas of temptation for me, for many, many years, was the temptation of purity. Sexual purity. And I failed. Many years ago now, in different areas I failed. And I knew in my heart of hearts that I was not being true to who I professed to say I am on a Sunday. I knew in my heart of hearts that I did not have integrity in the deepest part of my being. And I remember thinking, nobody knows, nobody can see. But the tension began to build, and I cried out to God. I was desperate to become a better man, to be authentic, to be real. And I cried out to God that He would give me a new heart. And I remember the day came, and I was tired of being walking with lack of integrity. I was tired of walking with multiple me's, particularly in this area of purity. And I remember crying out to God and surrendering it all to God, being desperate for change. And I want to tell you something today, that God came into my heart, that God came and I was broken. We started again. He's a God of the second chance, friend. God began to build strength in my inner being. God began to build purity in my very inner being, and conviction and integrity began to grow. But it began with me being broken and saying, God, I want to be a different person. I need a change of heart. Integrity is one heart. And God did a beautiful work. And I remember being in a hotel. I was traveling. And I knew the temptations were there. They've got these adult channels. And I remember going to the lobby saying, please, my name is Richard Urban, I'm in this room. Please disengage the adult movie channel. And I remember at that time just feeling as if God was proud of me at that moment. Integrity began to grow in that area of my life. It's a beautiful feeling. Today, although time has most certainly passed, I want to give an opportunity today, not just for fathers, men, but to women, to single people, to unmarried people, to young adults, to seniors, wherever you are. I want you to know God is a God of the second chance. If you feel far away from God today, you can be reconciled to who? Your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. Today's Father's Day. This can be a very special Father's Day for somebody today. To be reconciled to their Heavenly Father. You're never too far from God, friend. But the key is to come to a place that I came to, and that was to be broken, to be surrendered, to be honest and real with God. Stop trying to change yourself, but let the God who changes everything come and live on the inside and create a new heart. And become a man or a woman of integrity. So as eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I just want to pray for those who want to give their heart to God. Maybe you've walked away. You want to come back to God. You want to make it right with God today. Maybe even the first time opportunity, whatever it is, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's make this a private moment. Time is gone, but this is precious right now. On the count of three, I want you to put your hand up nice and high. And I'll pray for you. If you want Jesus, if you want to be made right with God, if you want to come back to Him, if you want to start over, in your walk with God. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up nice and high. One, two, three. Anybody? Thank you for your hand. Anybody else? Thank you for your hand. Anybody else? Any other hands? Nice and high. Those hands, please, you can open your eyes and look at me. Thank you. You put your hand down. Thank you. Thank you. You put your hand down. Anybody else? Praise Jesus. We will have counselors for you too, ladies. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Three people. Anybody else this morning? This is precious. The Father's arms are open. Okay. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to stand now if you can, please, people. If you can just stand to your feet, everybody, the whole congregation, stand to your feet. And I'm just going to pray. You stay right there, guys. Just chill out. I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing over us all, and we're going to go and enjoy food. But those three people that put their hands up, could you come down the front when we dismiss everybody? Just come on down. I'd love to talk with you. I've got two ladies and a guy. Maybe if Paul Africa, if you're in the house. Paul, are you here? Come on down and join me here. That'd be wonderful. And two ladies to join me down the front to do some counseling and some follow through. Amen. Has anyone enjoyed their day this morning? I apologize for being a little bit long. Our prayer time for the unborn went on a bit longer, and probably I talked a bit too long. But anyway, we're about to just pray and let you go for the day. But thank you for coming. Our visitors especially, thank you for coming. We're really glad you came. May the Lord bless you. Let me just pray this beautiful prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy your Father's Day. God bless. Enjoy and hang around for a bite to eat. Thank you.